Warning. What you are about to hear is guaranteed to move you out of your comfort zone towards higher ground. You have just one attempt at life. Live it on purpose, not by accident. For a person to be without complete and accurate knowledge is not good. Therefore, you are invited as you listen to the senior pastor, Daystar Christian Center, and presenter, Success Power, Reverend Sam Adeyemi.
After Daniel. Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6. And the second verse of scripture we'll read after that. Is Psalm 49 and verse 20. Psalm 49 and verse 20. All of us are going to read together. So, if you are in Hosea chapter 4 verse 6, let's go. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also will reject you from being priest for me. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children. Psalm 49 and verse 20. Psalm 49 and verse 20. If you're there, let's go. A man who is in honor, yet does not understand, is like the beasts that perish. Sweet Holy Spirit, the word that we want tonight is a word that will not only impact individuals, but that will transform a nation. And not just one nation, but many nations. A word that will change families. A word that will transform organizations. A word that will change communities. A word that will impact on the economy of this nation. A word that will change the political system of this nation. A word that will go into every area of life in this nation and cause a change. We thank you. Our testimony will be like what happened in Ephesus. So the word of God grew mightily and prevailed. Let your word prevail in the name of Jesus Christ. Some few years back, I was having a discussion with Pastor Matthew Ashimolowo. He said, Africa has seen miracles. Africa has seen blind eyes opened. Africa has seen the lame walk. Africa has even seen the dead raised back from the dead. He said, but there is one miracle that Africa needs next. He said, Africa needs the miracle of the mind. So tonight, I've decided to title this operation, Miracle of the Mind. Miracle of the Mind. The salvation experience is a miracle of the spirit. It's a pure miracle for the nature of the devil to be cut out of a human being and for the nature of God to be implanted. For a child of the devil to become a child of God is a pure miracle. Changing the nature of a being is a miracle. I mean, it's like looking at a cat and cutting out the heart of a cat and putting inside it the heart of a lion. It's a miracle. It's a pure miracle. So the salvation experience described in 2 Corinthians 5:17, becoming a new creature or a new species, is a pure miracle. The healing of the physical body or the restoration of the functions of the physical body where there has been deformity is also a miracle. The opening of blind eyes, causing the deaf to hear, making the dumb to speak, causing the lame to walk, raising the dead, these are authentic miracles. And the truth is, all the miracles we have described are caused by the supernatural power of God. In John 3, verse 2, Nicodemus said to Jesus, "You are a teacher come from God. No man can do these miracles that you do except God be with him." Miracles are not issues of natural occurrence. They are caused by the interference of the spiritual world in the natural world. But tonight, there is one area, one aspect, where Africa needs to taste the miracle-working power of God. When we do, we will become the eighth wonder of the world. And we must accept that it would actually also take a miracle for us to secure a change in this dimension of our existence. Almighty God says here, "My people perish," he said, "for lack of knowledge." There's a kind of thinking, a dimension of thinking that results in backwardness, that results in regression, that results in underdevelopment, that results in failure, that results in poverty. And God was saying there, wherever there is lack of knowledge, such kind of degradation will take place. My people perish. He said it is for lack of knowledge. And then in Psalm 49, verse 20, he said, "Man that is in honor." You see, he even, one way or the other, has found himself in a position of influence, a position of privilege. He said, "But as long as his mind is not functioning," he said, "he's not better than an animal." What makes the difference between an animal and a human being is our cognitive ability. Only man has been given the power of self-awareness by God. It's only man that can come out of himself to look at himself and to assess himself with an accurate perspective. That capacity, only man has it. Animals don't have it. He said, "But when a man cannot exercise this capacity, he is nothing better than animals. Man that is in honor but understands it not is like the beasts of the field that perish." What better honor, what greater honor can man have than becoming a child of God? Becoming a new creature. We understand about the honor of being a governor or being a president. This verse applies to everyone in a position of authority or leadership who lacks knowledge. But much more than that, there's no position higher than that of a Christian. A Christian who has been raised together with Christ and made to sit with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, a joint heir with Christ and heir of God. What greater privilege? But this verse also applies that even when you are in such honor, when in the presence of God, you now have the same access that Jesus has, when you have access to the power of the Holy Spirit, access to infinite intelligence, access to the greatest level of wisdom in the world, a human being can still function like an animal in the absence of knowledge. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17, Apostle Paul encouraged the Ephesian Christians. Ephesians 4, 17, he said, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind. Let me read it from the Message Bible. Ephesians 4:17. He says, and so I insist, and God backs me up on this, that there be no going along with the crowd, the empty-headed, mindless crowd, without God. The mind loses its capacity to comprehend and to interpret circumstances accurately. You see, life is about interpretation. Ecclesiastes chapter 8 verse 1. Who is like a wise man who knows the interpretation of a thing? Life is about interpretation. Yesterday I was talking about the place of the mind between the spirit and the body. Do you realize that it is your mind that gives your body meaning? Each time you say that you see, the truth is that it is not just your physical eye that sees, it's your mind. The light and the colors hit this physical eye. The nerves transmit the stimuli to the brain. It's the brain that sees colors. It's the brain. It's the interpretation that the brain gives what your eye has seen that determines what you have seen. When you touch something and you withdraw your hand, you say it is hot. It is not your hand that knows it is hot. The moment you touch it, the nerves send a message straight to the brain. The brain interprets it as hot, sends a message back, withdraw. In that split second. So, it is the interpretation that your mind gives, the stimuli that come to your senses, that actually determine your response. So, when something goes wrong with the mind, there will be wrong interpretation. And in such a situation, a human being is liable to run towards danger. That's why when people have psychiatric problems, we know something is seriously wrong. What is wrong? All five senses still in place. It is interpretation that have gone wrong. That's all. It is interpretation that has gone wrong. No clear definition anymore of nakedness. Am I right? So, when something is wrong with the mind, it is not only natural phenomena that are misinterpreted, the stimuli also coming from the realm of the spirit are misinterpreted. So, Apostle Paul says, hello, now that you are saved, you must understand this. You cannot afford to continue anymore to walk in the, like the other Gentiles walk, in the vanity or emptiness or futility of their minds. Because when God does not have influence anymore on the human mind loses its capacity for accurate interpretation. So, a human being is capable of partaking in something that is shameful, and his interpretation will be that he's enjoying. In Job 32 and verse 8, that young man called Elihu said, there is a spirit in man. He said the inspiration of the Almighty gives him what? Now, that word understanding is the interpretation we're talking about. Understanding is interpretation. Understanding is interpretation. Someone speaks to you. Sometimes you understand, sometimes you don't. The point at which you accurately interpret is the point at which you understand. He said there's a spirit in man. It is the inspiration of the Almighty that gives him the capacity for accurate understanding or interpretation. There is a spirit in man. Ah, that spirit is in you. And from tonight, I declare you are delivered from error. There is a spirit in man. In the Message translation, it says, but I see I was wrong. It's, okay, let me pick it from verse 6. He says, I'm a young man, and you are all old and experienced. That's why I kept quiet and held back from joining the discussion. I kept thinking, experience will tell. The longer you live, the wiser you become. He said, but I see I was wrong. It's God's spirit in a person, the breath of the Almighty One, that makes wise human insight possible. He said, I thought the longer you live, the wiser you become. He said, but now I see I'm wrong. Sometimes the older you live, the more foolish you become. As long as God is not there influencing your thinking. He said, it is the breath of the Almighty One that makes human insight possible. It's the breath of the Almighty One. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 28. You see, I am passionate about this subject because of the impact that Christianity has had on my thinking and the radical transformation it has brought to my life. And today, I go on the road. I look at my countrymen and I see the emptiness, the vanity. I see the ineffectiveness and lack of productivity in people's lives. And I have a burden. Because I know if someone could get this same kind of interpretation that I have to life, life will become cheap. The things that seemed difficult to me yesterday have become so easy. And what has made the difference? Not because my country has changed. In fact, my country is worse now than it was then. It's my interpretation that has changed. And that has been enough to secure my own destiny. Okay? Romans chapter 1. Apostle Paul explains this issue a little bit further. Romans 1, verse 28. I'm talking about the influence of God on the human mind. And when it is absent, it's a big problem. Romans 1, 28 says, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. Move back to verse 20. From verse 20. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds, and four-footed animals, and creeping things. Verse 24, therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. He said, they did not retain God in their thoughts. That's what the King James Version says. That even as much as they did not retain God in their thoughts, the King James Version says that God gave them over to a reprobate mind. When God is not involved in man's thinking, man is capable of doing crazy things. And he will think he's enjoying crazy things. It says here, since they did not want the influence of God over their thinking. Because this was how Adam was created. He was created to be influenced. And as long as God was influencing his thinking, he would be influencing the earth, establishing on the earth God's ideas. But the moment he rebelled against God, his mind came under the influence of the devil. Now I tell you, Satan exploits man's mind to the maximum when he has control of it. So he says here, Well, since they decided God was not going to influence their thoughts, he said, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, debased thinking. He abandoned their hearts to foolishness. He said, and that was when they developed the capacity to do things that were not even natural, things that would not have occurred to them before. If you read further in that passage, he says they went into uncleanness. Since the strongest physical emotion known to man is the emotion of sex, when God does not control the human mind anymore, one of the first places where you will see the sign is in the area of sex. Then God gave them over to the lust of their hearts, to uncleanness. He said the men left the natural use of their bodies and went after other men. The women left the natural use of their bodies, went after other women. You look around the world today, anywhere God has lost influence over national life, they will go into homosexuality. Uncleanness, doing sordid things. Animals will be sleeping with people. They'll be making dogs to sleep with women. They will think, and then, you know, they begin to worship sex like they used to do in some of those cities before Apostle Paul got there with the gospel. So man is capable of crazy things. And you know, sometimes I look at the way people think in our country and I think it's just crazy. I mean, haven't you seen that in our country it is the absurd that rules over what makes sense? Have you not noticed that practically every day we keep hearing things that are shocking? Have you noticed that in our political life, in our economy, there are things that don't make sense? Why should illiterates hold a whole state to ransom? Is it not in a place where God has abandoned people and abandoned their thoughts that they would go and abduct a governor? You see, when in the developed world they hear some of the things happening here and they issue warnings to their citizens, they issue warnings. Sometimes our government, you know, gets angry and replies them and wonders what the big deal is. You see, from their own perspective, it's a big deal. A governor abducted, sir. Under normal circumstances in a country, citizens should be able to travel at any time, even in the night. A governor was traveling with siren, broad daylight, and armed robbers attacked him and shot to death his friend who was sitting next to him. In this country, the theater of the absurd. So, recently too, in another state, thugs, backed by policemen, went and ransacked a governor's office again. The man escaped. A governor? What is he governing? Haven't you wondered how sometimes our leaders will go abroad, see how the place works, see how beautiful it is, and then they will come and they will not be able to do anything about our case? It is a mind that can't work. We hear absurd things. A young 36-year-old man holds a whole state to ransom and says it's the godfather. And then says that the governor should sign a document that the money he spent on election to get him, that he should sign postdated checks from the state coffers. And then because the man does not cooperate, ran him out. Abducted him. Okay, they said they expelled the two of them. Now, the godfather has been readmitted and is now a member of the board of trustees of the party. I'm sorry, but whenever I read such things, I feel sick. You see, God is coming back into our thinking. It is this lack of influence of heaven on our thinking that makes us to get used to mediocrity. I'm serious. For you to think it is normal. You see, things have been depreciating and depreciating and depreciating and depreciating, and we've been putting up with them. And you know, this is one country where you are maltreated or mistreated, and we think it is the right of other people to do it. That's in a situation where you took your money to patronize somebody's business or services, and you are treated anyhow, and you think it is normal, something is wrong. They are selling bonds on a garbage heap, and we are buying the bonds. We can see the gutter. We can see the mud. We can see the flies. We still buy the akara. Last Saturday, I was going to speak somewhere. Daddy was driving. We were on the bridge at Akomojo. We were next to a Danfo bus. All of a sudden, the door came off and fell on my car. In motion, we were in traffic. The door, the whole door of a Danfo just fell off. Of course, we dashed out. I dashed out. As I dashed out to look at some people inside the bus said, "Good afternoon, sir. Good afternoon, sir." I just looked at it. I said, "Good afternoon." I dashed back inside the car and sat down. What if it had been an Okada rider and a passenger that the door fell on? What kind of a country is this? Countries where their brains work. Such vehicles don't move on the road at all. Something's wrong. Vehicles that are not used to carry animals elsewhere are used to carry us here, and we too consider ourselves as human beings. It's just a simple, short challenge I have come to give tonight. In Ephesians chapter 4, let's go back to Ephesians 4. See, when your mind is working, when your mind is working under the influence of the Holy Spirit, excellence is guaranteed. You will deem excellence will be normal to you. And to many people around you in this country, you will look like a troublesome fellow. When you insist, when you make a demand, when you tell people, they think, "What is it? Your own is too much." It's not too much, sir. It's not too much. You can't have heaven in your heart and be normal with earth. Not especially earth, like this country. Ephesians chapter 4. When you become born again, the Holy Spirit comes inside you. There's a change that happens. Ephesians 4, from verse 17. "These I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to walk all uncleanness with greediness." See that? Lewdness, uncleanness, sexual immorality. Okay? Verse 20. "But you have not so learned Christ." That's it. That's it. You can't continue the way they think. Let me read it from the Message Bible. It says, "And so I insist," and God backs me up on this, "that I be no going along with the crowd, the empty-headed, mindless crowd. They've refused for so long to deal with God that they've lost touch, not only with God, but with reality itself." He says they can't think straight anymore. Feeling no pain, they let themselves go in sexual obsession, addicted to every sort of perversion. Verse 20, but that's no life for you. Amen? That they're enjoying life. And life is eating them. They think they're the ones enjoying life. Life is enjoying them. Life is going on at their expense. So he says, excuse me, now that Christ is in you, that is no life for you. That's not your lifestyle anymore. Okay? It says, you learned Christ. My assumption is that you have paid careful attention to him, been well instructed in the truth precisely as we have it in Jesus. Since then, we do not have the excuse of ignorance. Everything, and I do mean everything, connected with that old way of life has to go. It's rotten through and through. Get rid of it. And then take on an entirely new way of life. A God-fashioned life. A life renewed from the inside. And working itself into your conduct as God accurately reproduces his character in you. Amen. Christianity gives you the capacity to think in a different way. My life was going in a particular direction before. I was thinking like everybody else. It was Christianity that brought me to the place of awareness, that brought me to the place where I now got the capacity to think differently. Romans chapter 12, verse 2, my favorite verse in the Bible. And be not conformed to this world, but be what? Transformed. By what? The renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and the acceptable and the perfect will of God. So don't be conformed to this world. Don't let this world put you into its mold. Don't fit into the pattern of the environment. The money, your money that is stolen, and bread, loaves of bread. And then he puts 200 naira inside a loaf of bread and says, vote for me one more time. And people vote them back in. They're under a spell. Anyone who accepts, any right-thinking person who accepts poverty as his lot in life is under a spell. I'm telling you, because there is a way God programmed man to desire heaven and to want to reproduce heaven on earth. That's why there's been development. So when that is missing and man is comfortable with misery, he's under a spell. A pastor was flying to Kenya. And then there was a lady sitting next to him, also flying to Kenya, a Kenyan. They got talking. She said she was going back home for the burial of her sister. Oh, he said, so sorry. What happened? Was she healed? She said, oh, yes. She died of AIDS. Then he saw a good opportunity to share the gospel with her. You see, AIDS kills. Have you accepted Jesus into your life? Because AIDS can kill you, just like AIDS killed your sister. The lady said, that's no big deal. Everybody has to die of something sometime. That is a mind under a spell. A-D. That's what the Yoruba language calls it. A spell. When someone else has remote control over somebody's mind, when a person has lost the capacity to exercise his or her own will, to control his or her own thoughts, the essence of ministry is the destruction of existing thought patterns in a community. What does Christianity have to offer? I believe in the power of God. I believe in miracles. I believe in the healing of the sick, in the raising of the dead. I believe in the casting out of devils. I believe in the opening of blind eyes and in the lame walking. But listen to me. If somebody is blind, and through the power of God, the person's eyes are opened, Does Christianity have anything else to offer that person after the opening of eyes? If this person will live another 60 years, does Christianity have anything to give the person? Excuse me. Jesus does not stop at healing physical bodies. He healed people's thinking. He was preaching, he was teaching, and he was healing. Christianity's longer lasting impact on a person's life is through education. It's through a change, a transformation in the person's mindset. Jesus preached, repent. The kingdom of heaven is here. We used to think repent meant feel sorrowful, feel bad for your sins. Now we have discovered. Repent simply means have a change of mind. Change your thinking. Change your lifestyle. Do a 180-degree turnaround. In Acts chapter 26, Apostle Paul talks about how he met Christ and the commission that he was given for ministry. I love this passage of scripture. Acts 26, verses 16 to 18. He said, "But rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness both of the things which you have seen and of the things which I will yet reveal to you. I will deliver you from the Jewish people, as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you." Verse 18, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Apostle Paul knew to see his commission. Awesome miracles happened through the ministry of Apostle Paul. But those miracles were not an end in themselves. They were a means to an end. They were God's opportunity to break the spell on people's minds. To grab their attention. And then when he breaks that spell, gets their attention, he says here, Jesus told Apostle Paul, the main essence of your ministry is to open their eyes. Turn them from the power of Satan to the power of God. Break the control of the devil over their thinking. Let God take charge of their thoughts. That's the essence of ministry. So he says in 2 Corinthians 10, 3 to 5, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. The weapons of our warfare are not man-made. They are mighty through God to pull down strongholds. And he was describing his ministry to the Corinthians. He said, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against knowledge of God, bringing into captivity what? Every thought to the obedience of Christ. Apostle Paul says that's ministry. That's what we do. We are in a fight against thought patterns. That's the essence of our ministry. We cannot say that we have succeeded in ministry just because we gathered a large crowd. Haven't you noticed in this city that the number of decisions that people have made for Christ has already exceeded the population? We misinterpreted the Great Commission. Matthew 28:19-20. He said, go and do what? Teach all nations. That's what he said. Teach, disciple, train, mentor all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. We now said the Great Commission was organizing big crusades and getting everybody to be born again. Who said? He said, teach. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. He said, teaching them to observe all the things that I have taught you. That's the commission. The Great Commission is not finished until people are taught. And the thought pattern in a community is changed. So we thank God for all he has been doing in Nigeria. We must not discountenance it. The salvation of the spirit. We must not discountenance it. This has been God. But it's time we begin to tell ourselves, the Great Commission is not yet fulfilled in this country. Our revival is not yet revival until it has led to reformation in our thinking. In Acts chapter 19, which I've been quoting, and I'm drawing to a close, Acts 19, I read again verses 18 to 20. Apostle Paul, even though this is the Ephesus where God wrought special miracles through his ministry, you will see the essence of the working of miracles. He was teaching in the school of Tyrannus for 2 straight years. And the Bible says in verse 18, and many who had believed came confessing and telling their deeds. Also, many of those who had practiced magic brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all. And they counted up the value of them, and it totaled 50,000 pieces of silver. Those magical books controlled the thinking of that city. Verse 20 says, so the word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed. The existing thought culture was shattered to the extent that the books that controlled that culture, people brought those books and set them ablaze. It was the revelation that was flowing from God that now had the upper hand. In the name of Jesus Christ, that will be the testimony of this country. When you hear, you can't make it in this country without giving bribe, without being corrupt, that is satanic thinking. Satanic. And unfortunately, there are lots of people in church who have accepted it because their minds are under a spell. When the Bible shows us examples of so many people, like Daniel, who purposed in his heart, he was at a disadvantage, was a slave, but said he was not going to defile himself. And the power of God worked on his behalf. The lasting impact of Christianity is in its teaching. Jesus in Matthew 4:23 was preaching and teaching in their synagogues. And he was healing the sick that were brought to him. In Acts chapter 6, when there was this murmuring in the church, Acts 6 verse 2, the apostle said, it does not make sense for us to leave the word of God to serve tables. You see, the central assignment in ministry is this teaching thing. It's influencing people's thinking. It's destroying and damaging the existing belief systems. It is established God's thought pattern. It's releasing the influence of the Holy Spirit on people's thinking. So he said, we cannot leave this one to serve tables. Verse 4, they said, but we will give ourselves continually to what? To prayer and to what? The ministry of the word. The result in verse 7, and the word of God increased. That's revelation gained the upper hand. And the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. You see, the influence of the church was increasing. God's thinking pattern was increasing in influence. And in John 8:32, Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. There's a new kind of deliverance service. There's a new kind of deliverance service. It is the service that delivers a person from the thinking that puts people under a spell. That's the deliverance we need. I've tried, I've read, I've studied on deliverance. There was a particular book I read, and I knew it, that knowledge-based deliverance is lasting deliverance. Sometimes, yes, you need someone with spiritual authority to help you get rid, get the load off. But ultimately, Jesus said, when a demon leaves a person, he said it goes through dry places. If it can't find anywhere to go, it comes back. If it finds the place clean, it goes and gets 7 demons that are more wicked. And they come back in. He said, and the latter state of that person is worse than the person's former state. So, in other words, if this deliverance will not continue, that's for them to be doing deliverance over and over and over, because that's what got me tired. Because I discovered there are lots of irresponsible people. You will drive the demon out of them. They will do nothing. Demon will come back. Then I'll be sweating. When I noticed that it was the same set of people that I was doing deliverance for every month, I got tired. Spiritual contractor. Employed to drive demons out of people who won't drive demons out of themselves. So I discovered. You let a person come to the reality, to the knowledge of who he or she is. It's the person that will drive the demon away. So our prayer tonight is based on this. Holy Spirit influenced knowledge will begin to displace demon influenced knowledge in this country. There will be an appreciation for information. They say we don't have a reading culture. We will have it. How many books have you heard have been written in this country that sold 1 million copies? It says a lot about us, sir. Rick Warren wrote his book, The Purpose Driven Life. 7 million copies sold. One book written by a pastor. Which book here sold 1 million copies? That they will write on it boldly, oh, 1 million copies sold. Because 1 million people are not interested. Even when they are born again, they've carried over their thinking from the former days. What they want in a pastor is a babalawo. The herbalists that people ran to solve their problems here before, did they teach people principles? Give him something. Let him take it over, rub it on his head. Let him lick it. Let him use it to bath and put it under his pillow. So that is why when they come to church, sir, they would rather... If you take a bottle of anointing oil, say it's 5,000, they'll borrow money to buy it. Tape, 100 naira, they won't buy. AD, spell. 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 What they don't know is that the thing that makes the oil to work is what's inside you. So they didn't know. Look around very well. How many illiterates, how many people who have nothing inside their cranial cavity are achieving anything reasonable? Without God-inspired thoughts, God-inspired thinking, and spiritual literacy, achieve nothing. We need to wake up. The days of magic are over. A wolf testimony over. And you have millions of people, you know, millions, like in the area of finances. Like in the area of finances. You know, the testimony they are waiting for is the person who will knock on their door in the morning and say it was an angel that led them there. I've never been here before. It was an angel that led me. Eh? Are you Brother Egun? Shenu Jeje Mudi. Say it's me. He says, praise the Lord. God is awesome. This is your check for 10 million. It was the Holy Spirit that led. When you hear a testimony like that in church, say, hallelujah, our God is mighty. Our God is able. Ah, my miracle has started. One person gave that testimony for the next 2 years. Nobody may have it happen for him like that again. But all the foolish people, they will be going to the same place, waiting for the same thing to happen to them. They don't build wealth like that. We have to wake up. No skill. No skill, doesn't know how to do any kind of work. No services, no products. Come on. The God you are expecting to bless you did not create his world like that. You read your Bible with open eyes. You will see everybody, the Abraham that you are calling his name, that his blessing is on you. He had a business that he was doing. But you see, those who have thrived in this environment of slavery, don't want it to end. Since success is so scarce, when somebody succeeds a little bit, he has a lot of people to worship him or to worship her.
They're enjoying it, so they don't want things to change. That's why they have allowed the educational system to crash. Because they enjoy it. Eh? He has 140,000 naira. You know, all he has to change there is 10,000 to go to the party. 10 naira. Ten bundles. Crisp new note. Olowo, man. He was just bringing it out from the left and from the right pocket. Shut up. The whole money that he has is $1,000. He's just boboing everybody. It's because everybody is under his spell. That's why you think he has money. He does not have nothing. That's what a non-skilled worker gets in America in a month. He's not a rich person. Can't tell you, Jen. Sorry. It means he's just deceiving you. Anyway, some of us are breaking out. I said some of us are breaking out. I drive around town in a brand new Mercedes car. And then I see some people almost fall off Okada. Some open their mouth. Their eyes almost pop out of their popsicles. And I think, oh God, deliver me. What's going on? What's going on? If not for this environment. If not for this environment. To be cheap on the road. When you drive a Benz in the U.S., don't think you are driving any serious car. Because they even drive big cars on their road, on their roads anyway. They won't see your own. There's no big deal. It's just that everybody here is under a spell. Tonight, first of all, that spell is broken over your own mind. And then tonight, we're going to pray. Why is the media still under government control? Why? If not that, they still want to hold everybody to ransom. And one of my prayer points is that they will sell NTA because the federal government has no business controlling NTA. There's no developed country where the government controls the major media that controls the whole country. Nowhere. Nowhere, because that is part of the opportunity for slavery. Everybody sits down in front of that news. Have you noticed? Do they talk about you? Don't they talk about themselves? Is it not selling? Including lies. Blatant lies sometimes. We are free. Jesus said, you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. When you are free from the thinking that dominates the environment, you'll be surprised at the speed at which your life will go. Speed. Since I decided to run my thinking world class, it's changed my life. So when I travel out of the country, and I talk to people. I mean, I enjoy it. I enjoy it when I teach people in the U.S. how to thrive in the U.S. And then some of my friends says, wow, you are an American living in Nigeria. It's not true. I'm a citizen of the kingdom of God living in Nigeria. You can't be a citizen of heaven and be an ordinary person on planet Earth. My thinking is aligned with the word of God, influenced by the Spirit of God that lives in heaven and on earth at the same time. From tonight, receive access to quality thinking. Stand to your feet with me. We speak wisdom among those who are mature, not the wisdom of this age. It's the wisdom of God, which the rulers of this world did not know. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard. Neither has entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love it. It says, but these things has he revealed unto us by his Spirit. He has given us the Spirit so that we may know the things that are freely given to us. Apostle Paul said, I pray that the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened, that you may know the hope of his calling. Thank you, Jesus. Lift your hand and begin to thank God. Thank God for your access to quality thinking. Thank him for the Holy Spirit. He said, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will teach you all things. He will guide you into all truth. He will bring into your remembrance all the things that I told you. Holy Spirit will influence your thinking. There is a spirit.
spirit in man, the inspiration of the Almighty gives him understanding. Your thinking cannot be controlled by the Holy Spirit, and you'll be stranded where everybody else is stranded. What the devil creates as an obstacle, God turns into an opportunity for a miracle. God can do wonderful things in your life in style. Thank you. We bless you, Lord Jesus. You said we shall know the truth and the truth shall set us free. And you said it's the Holy Spirit that will teach us the truth. Guide us into the truth. We bless you today. We thank you. 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 We begin with thanksgiving. We begin with thanksgiving. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Apostle Paul said, it is possible to be saved and then to lapse in your thinking and to come under a spell again, because the Galatians were already born again. It is possible to continue under the spell while speaking in tongues. Tonight, the first prayer we will pray, every spell over Africa, every spell over Nigeria, every spell communicated through TV, through radio, communicated through newspapers, every spell communicated through the culture, through people's mouths, every spell that has influenced or is trying to influence my thinking, tonight I break their power over my mind in the name of Jesus Christ. Please go ahead and pray. Go ahead and pray. We need the miracle of the mind. This can change your life altogether in the name of Jesus Christ. Apostle Paul said, foolish Galatians, who bewitched you? Tonight I declare I am free from every form of bewitchment in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I destroy every satanic influence over my thinking. Oh yes, Lord, I know Satan creeps in unconsciously. Apostle Paul said, I fear lest your minds be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Tonight, in the name of Jesus, I destroy every satanic attempt to corrupt my thinking. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, every spell, I declare, the Bible says Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. There is a curse of poverty over Africa. That curse is working through people's thinking patterns. Tonight, in the name of Jesus, I am free. I'm free from the culture of mediocrity. I am free from the culture of failure. I am free from the culture of poverty. I am free from underdevelopment. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I want you to pray and put your mind under the influence of the Holy Ghost. Hand over your mind to the Holy Spirit. Hand over your mind to the Holy Spirit. There is a spirit in man. The inspiration of the Almighty gives him understanding. Spirit of a living God, this mind is no longer a Nigerian mind. This mind is a heaven mind, heaven-centered mind, heaven-focused mind. In the name of Jesus, you gave Joseph wisdom. You gave Daniel wisdom. They shined. Even though they were supposed to be slaves, they shined in the natural realm. Tonight, I declare it's my turn. I am free from every limiting effect of this environment and declare that my mind is free. In Jesus' name we pray. Now we're going to pray because there are certain platforms that Satan is using to perpetuate this backward thinking. The media, sir. TV, radio, newspapers, magazines, music. Tonight we're going to pray. Home video. Hush. Tonight we're going to pray. We're going to destroy Satan's influence over the airspace. You see, because the Bible describes the devil as the prince of the power of the air. He knows the power of the media, sir. He is the chief of propaganda. Tonight, we will break the devil's power over Nigeria's airspace. Break the power of the devil over the electronic media. Break the power of the devil over the print media. Break the power of the devil over our own video. Break the power of the devil over the music industry. Please go ahead and pray in the name of... For every...
negative thinking pattern established in the minds of people in this country. We're going to destroy them now. Jesus said we cast down imaginations, poverty thinking, failure thinking, mediocrity thinking, the thinking of victim mentality and powerlessness. Tonight, now we're going to prophesy over individuals all over this country. Prophesy over every individual. We're going to prophesy. We're going to grow over this country in the realm of the spirit. Begin to pray in the name of Jesus. Points. The first one is based on Luke 15, 17, the prodigal son. Something just happened to his thinking and he went and lost everything he had. But the Bible says in Luke 15, 17, when he came to himself. Come on. We want to ask for a release of the spirit of revelation, the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of understanding. Nigerians will begin to come to themselves. Habakkuk 2 verse 14. The knowledge of the glory of God shall cover the earth as the waters cover the seas. Let's pray for hunger. Hunger. Hunger for knowledge. Hunger. In this country, we will see 10 million copies sold. One book title. Hunger for the word. Hunger for information. Hunger for revelation. Please go ahead and pray. Finally, ask God to help you take over mental territories. God will use you to influence people's thinking in this country. You see, there are specific books that were written in America that changed the thinking of almost the whole nation. Like The Richest Man in Babylon, written by George S. Clason, 1926. The book is still selling today as if it was written last year. Powerful, timeless principles for financial management. Hey, it's not everything that has to be written in Bible language. God will give us wisdom. The gospel message, the wisdom and the power of God will be hidden in the drama scripts that you write. So you know what? We're going to pray. God, give me grace to take over mental territories through television, radio, newspapers, magazines, books, video, tapes, CDs, schools, seminars, conferences. Begin to pray in the name of Jesus. Give him some praise tonight. This is some heavy duty spiritual stuff. But we shall see the results in the years to come. We shall see the results in the years to come. Oh Lord, we bless you tonight. We exalt you tonight. We worship you tonight. Hey, the demons that held people's minds captive have been rendered jobless. We give you glory. We give you praise. In Jesus' name.